Aloha, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pod Squad. Chad Blair with Honolulu Civil Beat, and joining me today, a very special guest, the Governor of Hawaii, David Ige. Hello, Governor.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
This is great that you're in our whisper room. We're so excited to have this.
It certainly looks like a thing of the future.
It is. Civil Beat is in the future. We're 21st century around here. So, Governor, my first question, I just got to get right to the politics. Our poll numbers, well, they were pretty stark. This was just a few weeks ago. More people have a negative perception than a positive perception of you. Only 35% approve of your performance. A whopping 57% say they want someone else. Only about 20% say they would support you for re-election next year. Are you at all worried that, you know, that maybe you might have a tough primary fight, if not a general fight next year?
Well, my assumption is that we'll have a challenge, a tough fight. You know, being governor is a very important role in our community, and I know that there will be others who would want the opportunity to serve as governor.
You know, if we go back 3 years or 4 years ago, at the time, nobody thought Neil Abercrombie was going to be challenged. In fact, nobody came forth in the Democratic Party, really, except you. And you surprised everybody, fairly not terribly well known in your time in the ledge, even though you did run Ways and Means, a very prominent position. And you shocked the heck out of everybody, including Governor Abercrombie, by defeating him in a primary. I believe it was an historic defeat. Are you at all worried that, boy, deja vu all over again could happen to you, the same thing?
I think that it's a very different time. You know, I continue to work hard. I think that, you know, I trust in the voters. I look forward to the opportunity to talk about the things that we've done. I look forward to the opportunity as we get closer into the campaign of talking about the vision and the next 4 years.
Well, tell me one or two things that you're particularly proud of in your term, your first term, that you think voters should understand, accomplishments that you feel you deserve credit for.
Homelessness was a very important issue for many people. And it really was about looking for a long-term solution. I mean, homelessness has been with us for many years, and there were, in my estimation, no quick fixes. Wanted to make certain that the changes we make would have long-term impact on getting people out of homelessness. And I think we are starting to see progress.
Point in time count did seem to suggest that things really improved considerably, slightly up on Oahu. Right. But you think that voters might actually look and say it has improved. I'm not seeing Kaka'ako overrun or Kapalama Canal. And therefore, maybe they should give you some credit.
Absolutely. And I think that more importantly, the system is working better. You know, rather than having someone go into an emergency shelter, temporary shelter, right, and be there for 5 years, you know, we're really committed for them to be there for 30 days or 60 days and finding a better place for them with the supports that they need that allows them to establish a more permanent existence.
Perfect.
That's what we're committed to doing.
A question from Becky Jones on Facebook. Governor Ige, will you please highlight the steps that the state will take to close the gap between abundant, available solar energy and our infrastructure's inability to deliver that energy to the people? And this, I think, goes to storage in many ways.
I would say that I was at the groundbreaking of the first dispatchable solar project utility scale in the country on KIUC on the north shore of Kauai.
The co-op for the island.
Yes, the co-op for the island. Utility scale solar and the battery array. So it gets charged up during the daytime. And then the energy is delivered when we need it. I mean, I think that that is one of the technology solutions that are coming. And we've seen a tremendous drop in the cost of PV panels. And we are seeing a similar drop in the cost of batteries. And I think that those two technologies, when married together, can be a big part of that solution.
Closing that gap that Becky's speaking of.
Absolutely.
From Charlie on Facebook, question for the governor. How do you feel about the actions of former governor Ben Cayetano to obstruct the progress of the rail project. You know, he paid, or at least someone else helped pay for that full-page ad that ran in the Washington Post.
You know, I have always admired Governor Cayetano because he is truly one that speaks his mind and is committed to what he believes in. You know, I worked with him when I was a member in the House and he was in the Senate and then became lieutenant governor. And he challenges transit systems. You know, he served as chairman of the Transportation Committee when he was in the legislature. And we've had conversations. And he is concerned that most of these transit systems blow up and end up costing more than the community can afford. So I do respect his opinion, and the governor is being the governor who he is, which he lets people know what he believes, and I respect him for that.
Ben does not hold back. Do you ever call Governor Cayetano or Governor Ariyoshi, both who supported you during the campaign? Governor Wahee supported Neil Abercrombie, and of course there's Linda Lingle. Do you call them up from time to time and say, boy, I need your help on something here?
I mean, I try not to bother them. I do occasionally on issues that I know and respect their opinions on. So I do occasionally. I don't ask them very frequently because I try to respect their time and their independence.
Renee Umberger on Facebook. Governor, all Hawaii residents derive benefits from our coral reefs. A recent poll found that 91% of our voters in the state is going to ask you about a bill, SB 1240. This is a compromise bill to help protect Hawaii's coral reefs and marine life. And of course, she's tying in as well the Paris Accord. As you know, you signed the bill making us a state complying with those accords on the environment. So I guess she's asking, what are you going to do with the coral reef bill that she's talking about?
You know, we still are reviewing all of the bills. I am scheduled to meet with the proponents and the opponents of that measure to listen to what their concerns are and then make a decision.
And I just tell all the folks out there, the governor never tells us what he's going to veto. I mean, believe me, we try all the time, and he just keeps his cards. He's a good poker player. I think that's an accurate thing to say. Let me ask you something where you think you might have fell short in your first 3 years in office, something that you wish had gone better, that you regret.
I mean, I do think that we need to do a better job of communicating. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that people say that I don't speak up enough, but, you know, I want to make sure that we treat taxpayer dollars as if they were my own, you know, and I can't just throw money at problems. You know, we have to have workable solutions that will make a difference, and that's what we focus on. So, you know, we continue to move forward. I'm proud of the progress we've made. We have made significant improvements in many, many areas, and you know, and I think we need to do a better job of sharing that and talking and communicating with people.
Okay, so that's something you like to improve on. Getting, yes. I mean, you yourself said public speaking is not your thing, but it seems like you have become more comfortable as you've gone around the state and traveled nationally and internationally. You're definitely, from my standpoint, having followed you over the years, much easier, much more at ease, it seems, with questions coming from the public.
Certainly, we have made a commitment to engage the community. We've had community meetings. And as you know, Chad, as these questions come up, you know, we do the research and we respond. And so I've probably heard every question that you could think of and so, you know, feel comfortable responding. But I do think it's important to have public engagement, you know, to have the opportunity for the general public to ask questions. And, you know, I'm prepared to answer. And sometimes I don't have the answer. And, you know, we'll get back to people.
I have to ask you this. You know, for years you were down on the second or third or fourth floor. And then one day you're up on the fifth floor at the Capitol, and you've been watching governors over the years. And then suddenly you're governor. What surprised you about the job? Something that you like didn't quite expect once you got in? That boy, if only I had known this going in.
I would say the one aspect that I didn't anticipate was the international view of Hawaii. you know, the engagement with Korea and Japan and the Philippines and many of those countries where our grandparents and others immigrated from. And so that was the biggest surprise to me about the interest, the engagement, how important it is to the countries, how important it is to various sectors of our community about our relationship and role. And as you know, as we become more and more global and people have the ability to travel more, I think Hawaii's international and global presence becomes more and more important, especially since we have learned to live with minorities and being respectful and celebrating our diversity better than any other community in the world, I believe.
Well, just one or two other questions. There has been some criticism of lawmakers that you're not doing enough, your administration, to reach out and communicate with them about bills and appropriations. Is that a fair jab?
Well, I mean, I think we do the best we can. I tell all of the directors to engage their subject matter chairs, you know, to be open when asked to respond to questions in the best way that they can. And so, you know, we continue to work at it all the time. You know, when we make a legislative initiative and it doesn't pass, then I do tell the directors you ought to circle back and talk with the subject matter chairs and understand if there's a philosophical difference, if there's a policy difference, you know, what prevented them from supporting our initiative so that we can be better.
Your door is open.
Absolutely.
Okay. Last question on a personal level. I know it's a busy job. I know you used to jog. That was part of your exercise. What do you do for R&R? What's your downtime recuperate, if you will?
It still is running. I try and get out and run 3 days a week if I can. I run 4 to 5 miles on every outing. You know, running just allows you to have some quiet time to think about. You know, it gets the perspiration flowing, and that's always a great thing. And, you know, it does give me new perspectives on challenges all the time. So it really helps me to think more clearly and find a way forward.
Are those security guards traveling? Are they jogging with you?
Their one request is that I find a circuit. So I find a route that allows them to watch me without having to actually join me in running.
One final question, again, coming from Anthony Quintano, our engagement editor. And I think this is right up your alley, something that you're very interested in. What kind of jobs do you see for Hawaii in an innovation economy?
It really is about, you know, what I talk about is that this is the next wave of technology and innovation. And what it really means is applying the best technology to each and every industry. I think that's the opportunity. That's why I believe everyone can participate in this next wave. You know, it is about taking the best that we have today and applying it to old challenges, you know. And for example, you know, we have been trying to survey valleys on the Big Island, the forest, to scope out rapid ohia death. And before, it would be very expensive because we would have to charter a helicopter and we would go around and keep track of what we're seeing where. You know, now with drone technology, you know, and they're equipped with GPSs, we can put up a drone for very little cost and do surveys more frequently, more accurately to really give us where the challenges are.
I mean, go ahead, sir.
No, and it is about trying to apply technology in every aspect.
I mean, as an engineer, you're almost a science geek. That's not that put down at all. But is it fair to say you're wonky, you're tech oriented, and you think we really can have those kind of jobs here?
Absolutely. You know, and we're working on it all the time. It really is about how we can help. You know, at the first hackathon, I talked about everyone taking responsibility for solving the challenges. You know, the best answers will come from all of us. How can we stop counting on out-of-state experts and count on the expertise that we all have of applying technologies, of thinking of innovative ways to solve the challenges in our community? And I believe that we can do it. And it's about finding how we can help each other find the solutions to our challenges.
I can't believe I called you a science geek.
That's all right.
Thank you, Governor. Governor David Inge, the leader of the state of Hawaii, has joined us here on the Pod Squad at Honolulu Civil Beat. Thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it and look forward to continuing community engagement.
We're going to bring you back into our whisper room again sometime, maybe as the campaign develops.
Certainly. Okay. Look forward to it.
You can visit us at civilbeat.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. For the Pond Squad and for Honolulu Civil Beat, it's Chad Blair. Take care and aloha. Thank you again, Governor.